Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, Brian O'Driscoll, former Ireland rugby captain and now experienced TV and radio pundit, has revealed that as a younger man, he lost sleep whenever he had to speak in public, which I never would have guessed, I must say. He said that the night before a test match, they'd have to do a captain's meeting. And I can tell you, this is a quote from Brian O'Driscoll. I can tell you, he says, the amount of sleep I lost trying to come up with 10 minutes of conversational chat for my peers. So how debilitating can it be to be asked to speak in public or in front of your peers? You can text me your examples now to 51551. Orla Carmody is a communications consultant and coach, an expert in this area, and she joins me now. Orla, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hello, Cormac. How are you?
Not too bad. How common is a fear of speaking in public, Orla?
Hugely common. And when you think of it, Brian O'Driscoll standing in front of a dressing room. Sure, he was only 22 or 23 at the time he captained Ireland at first. No wonder he was nervous. But he learned something really essential, and he has become a brilliant speaker. He took his speaking to the gym and he worked it out. And the more you do, the better you get. It's as simple as that. And you know, that nervousness or anxiety that people feel when they're asked the first time, get up in front of a room full of 100 colleagues and speak. You know, it's the performance energy, it's the adrenaline rush, but they don't know that it's performance energy if it's the first time. It is just, oh my God, everybody's going to be looking at me. It reminds me of the butler character that Brendan Brace used to have, the little schoolboy. Yeah. Uses all looking at me. It's that moment.
And come here, I'd love people's feedback on this at 51551, but in your experience, Orla, what are people afraid of?
They're afraid of being caught out. They're afraid of not remembering their information. They're afraid of going blank. They're afraid of a difficult question from the audience that they don't know how to handle. But all of these things are techniques. You learn them and you try them out. And the first time you try something out in the middle of a room in a live situation and it works, you go, that's brilliant. That worked. I'll do more of that. And it's fascinating when I work with speakers and I see them go for that point of fear to a point of real competence. It's actually brilliant.
Okay, so what are the top tips then for all those people listening at home who might have to speak at the wedding next week or at the going away party or whatever it might be? What are the top tips?
Well, the thing you have to remember is to come from the correct part of your brain. So people write down a load of information they want to get across, and they then try to remember it, and they put it into a place called sequential memory. And under pressure, in front of an audience, with nervousness, you cannot possibly function from that place.
Blank.
So you have to come.
You draw
from a place,
complete blank.
Yeah, oh, complete blank. So you have to come from a place of what we call learned or experiential or lived memory. So when you share stories, share insights, share your views on things, you know, give that color and description, you come from a lovely, happy place where you will never forget your place. You will never forget what you were going to say. And here's the other lovely thing: when people learn to come from that place and just be themselves up on stage, you look really attractive because you're smiling, you're laughing, your body language is really relaxed, you're kind of acting out what you're saying with your hands, and that's really attractive for an audience rather than the stiff person coming from learned memory who is clutching the podium with whitened knuckles.
Okay, now on body language, I know a couple of people actually who have this problem and they've asked me how to fix it. I don't have anything for them really. It's where you actually have a physical reaction to being in front of people, like you go really red or your neck gets all blotchy and red, you know, that you look mortified, and then you're aware that you look mortified because you can feel yourself going all red, and that makes you worse again. So like, is there anything you can do for that?
There's lots of things you can do. And that is really typically the fight or flight mechanism. So your body doesn't know that it's not a bear you have to go out there and slay. Your body thinks that's what it is. It's only an audience, but your brain and your body have become a bit disconnected. And what you have to do is reconnect them before you go out in order that you look lovely and relaxed and confident. So if you're ever at a conference and you're in the green room, you will see a speaker walking up and down beforehand. And what they're doing is they're reconnecting their brain with their feet. They're telling their feet, it's okay, if you need to run, it's fine, they still function. But if they don't do that beforehand, they will rock back and forward at the podium or TikTok and look seriously dodgy. Or, you know, if they haven't reconnected their hands with their brain to say the hands still work, the sheaf of papers rattles awfully and looks anxious. So people have to learn what their own nervousness symptoms are, work on them, deal with them, and then forget about it. Because the real place to be focusing so that all the nervous energy dissipates is to focus on the audience. But so many people think about all the clever things they want to say and they forget, does the audience actually want to hear this? So I say, put the audience first.
What if you're doing a corporate kind of work presentation for an item or a product that you don't really believe in? Is that worse? Because I often think that if you're authentic and genuinely believe what you're saying, that it's easier.
Well, that's an interesting one, because I think we're getting better at presentations overall, because in colleges now, it's not all about handing up the academic paper. It's about actually get up and present it to the class as well. So we are getting better and the bar is rising. However, get that young person, that graduate, into the corporate or the workplace, and sometimes the wheels come off because they're handed the interminable PowerPoint presentations and told, deliver the PowerPoint presentation. And it is impossible to deliver somebody else's work, or as you've said, Cormac, work you don't believe in or a project you don't believe in. So I always say, look, where you have been shoehorned into delivering the PowerPoint presentation, minimize it. Okay. Keep the slides to the absolute minimum. Don't read from them. Don't read a script. Just put up some illustration on them, something I can't possibly tell you, so I have to show you.
Okay.
But I have to get it into my head that I have to tell you all the good stuff.
Okay, well, look, some really, really good advice there. Orla Carmody, communications consultant and coach. Thank you very much indeed.